creation versus evolution. There are some words that are familiar to you. There are some words taken right out of the arena of American debate. For the various organizations have been formed for the purpose of advancing either the scriptural presentation of the creation of the world or the fictitious fantasy of evolution. The creation account of Scripture, of course, is the only one that is reliable and true, for it is the one that was written by the only one who was there. The man-made theory of evolution, by contrast, is as hollow and feeble as the skulls that are often put on display to advance its message. That which gives God the credit as creator is rock solid. That which removes the power of God from the creative process or the developmental process is without foundation. And that can be said not only with regard to the origin of the universe, that is also true in connection with the origin of a person's own spiritual world. I'm talking about the origin of faith in Christ. Is Christian faith the result of a divine creative act of great power, or is it the result of sort of an evolutionary process of sorts? We find the answer in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, fourth chapter, where he wrote, "The God of this world," and that's spelled with a small g, "the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Paul speaks to us here about the creation of faith, and that's his whole big point, that faith is a creation. Notice the parallel which the apostle presents here. As he was thinking about his own Christian faith, his own faith and confidence in Jesus, the events that took place at the time that the universe was created came to mind, for the similarities are striking. What was there to work with at the very beginning of the universe? Nothing. The world needed light, but there wasn't any. In Genesis 1, we're told that there was darkness upon the face of the deep. There wasn't the slightest spark of light available. There was no dusk at the dawning of the universe. There was darkness upon the face of the deep. There was no light whatever with which to begin when God created the world. It took his creative power. It took the God who has the ability to bring something into existence where there was nothing else before. And that's how it is in connection with a person's own spiritual life. We were all born in spiritual night. We weren't born at a spiritual dusk with the potential to rise to great spiritual heights. We were not born, as one famous American poet said, with a spark of divinity that could somehow be fanned into the full flame of faith. Isaiah describes people in their natural spiritual condition as those who walk in darkness and in the shadow of death. Sin completely eclipsed the sun. We had an eclipse about 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, a partial eclipse. Sin completely eclipsed the light which God had placed in Adam's soul. The devil successfully pulled down the shades completely on the hope that mankind had been given. Paul says, "The God of this world," that's the devil, "has blinded the minds of those who do not believe." As was the case with the physical world, which had no light when it began, so it is with a person's own spiritual world. It takes the act of creating to bring a person to faith. It takes a God who has the ability to bring something into being where there was nothing else before. The presence of faith in Christ in a person's heart is no more the result of an evolutionary process than is the presence of the physical world, even though there are many who advance that very message. There are many church bodies today which teach what is sometimes called decision theology, the notion that a person has to reach a decision to believe in Jesus, which is somewhat like an evolutionary process. But darkness cannot produce light. Blindness cannot result in light, sight. We cannot decide for Christ. No one can. Paul said, God has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And how does he cause the light of faith to shine in a heart? Back to the creation of the world. Genesis 1, God said, let there be light. And there was light. God produced light at the beginning of time through his simple, powerful word, and he continues to create spiritual light in the very same way. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, Paul says, has shined in our hearts. God's word, God's gospel, creates saving faith. The simple message of Jesus Christ crucified for us is that which has the ability to shatter darkness and replace it with light. And think how that can give a level of confidence to us to reach out to others with that same gospel. If we needed to persuade people that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, if it were a matter of convincing people intellectually that Jesus died for our sins and took our place, mission work would be a terribly daunting task. But when we remember that faith is rather a creation, not an evolutionary process, it becomes a much more positive prospect. And when we remember that God has placed into our mouths the very words, the very message that can create faith, our mouths will likely be far more ready to be open with the gospel, even in those situations that we might initially consider very unlikely. How likely was it that a thief who was dying a miserable death on a cross in extreme pain and agony would come to faith after hearing a simple proclamation of forgiveness? And yet, today you will be with me in paradise. How likely was it that a tax collector who was corrupt, serving the Roman government, and who was despised by his people, would come to faith as a result of a simple dinner conversation with the Word of Life? Yet, Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house. How likely was it that a treasurer for the Queen of Ethiopia, riding back on the dusty roads to his native country and reading from the prophet Isaiah and hearing some of those verses explained by Philip, would come to faith as a result? And yet, when Philip was taken away by the Spirit, the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Sharing the gospel is a wonderful thing because it puts into our mouths the very words and puts into people's ears the very words, the very dynamite which the Holy Spirit uses to create faith, as instantly and powerfully as he created light at the beginning of time. All teachings of evolution, whether pertaining to the physical world or a person's spiritual world, rob God of the glory that is due his name and rob us of the confidence that we should have in the power of his word. May we rejoice, therefore, in the truth of God's creation. The creation of the world, yes, but also, and to a greater extent, his creation of faith by that wonderful and simple message, Jesus has lived and died for me. Talk about power. Talk about light. Talk about Christ. As does our hymn for this morning, Hymn 578, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. 578, 1, 2, and 5.
faith.